This is Kate Harness with 307 Net Radio, and today I'm joined by Sabrina Lane. Sabrina is Executive Director of an organisation called Wyoming 211. Welcome to 307 Net Radio, Sabrina.
Thanks so much for having me today.
Well, thank you. Wyoming 211 is an organisation that I'm not sure many people are familiar with. Can you tell me a little bit? What's your potted version of Wyoming 211? What do you say to people when they ask you what you do?
Yes, it's something that is well scripted. I've been working on this for years. Wyoming 211 is a statewide provider of information and referral. We work with those individuals who are looking for those basic essential needs such as shelter, food, utility, and rent assistance. And then we go beyond that to other different needs that might come up, such as counseling services, legal services, and so on. So we really work with those individuals who are in need, just need assistance in helping navigate that complicated system of resources.
So when you say individuals, you mean just somebody out there in a community, you know, who just maybe doesn't have enough money to put food on the table for everybody, or has got a utility bill that has gone through the roof, or their car doesn't work anymore. Those sorts of needs, is
those
that what
you're describing? Needs, or even those who are limited, are on a fixed income, and they broke their eyeglasses, and they don't know where to go. So we can get them referred to the Lions Club, for example. So everybody that has a different type of health and human service need, we will work with.
So it sounds like you're really a sort of connecting, networking organization.
Absolutely.
For individuals. So what happens if I just pick up my phone and I just call 211?
That's correct.
What happens? Does it cost me any money?
It doesn't. We are a free service available to everybody who has a need, who wants to call and learn about new services. So they dial 211. They'll get connected to our call center, which is located in Cheyenne, Wyoming. But mind you, this service is for everybody in the state of Wyoming, mm-hmm. But that's just where our call center is. They'll get connected to a community resource specialist who will welcome and thank them for calling 211. They'll talk about what their specific needs is. They'll go through an intake and ask some questions about this individual so that we can make sure that we are connecting them with the most appropriate resource that they may be eligible for.
So can you give me an example of how a typical call might go? I mean, let's say, for example, I'm a young mom and, you know, my relationship hasn't been going very well and my husband's moved out, you know, and I say, I can't feed at all. I don't know what to do. I don't have a job. What would you then say?
Sure. Well, we would start the call by saying, thank you for calling Wyoming 211. This is Sabrina. How may I help you? And the individual on the other line will say, hi, I'm in need of utility assistance. I just got myself into a situation and I don't know where to begin. No problem. Let's see how we can help you. Can I ask first what your name is? So we'll go through some basic demographic information. We'll collect the name, their age, their gender. We do some demographics such as their race and ethnicity. And then we'll talk to them about whether or not they're a veteran, how many children they have in their home, what is their income, do they rent or own their home. So we'll ask a variety of questions to really get an understanding as to where they are right now and what some of their specific needs are.
And so what I'm hearing behind your answer is that that's not necessarily to be invasive and prying. It's to understand the whole range of different services that somebody might actually really be able to take,
exactly
make use
right.
of without yeah. necessarily knowing that you can provide them.
That's exactly right. And I want to note that all of these questions, if you feel that you don't want to answer those questions, that's completely fine. It just helps give us a better picture as to where you currently are. And there might be some other resources that we can refer you to in asking some of these questions.
So you mentioned that you are an organization that's statewide across Wyoming. Do other states have similar?
Yes. So okay. 211, and that's what I love about 211, we are a network of agencies across the entire country. Every single state has a 211. Some of the larger states have more than 211. We're all structured differently. So in Wyoming 211 is an independently operated 211 that is information and referral. Other states have crisis centers that are 211. So if you call 211, you'll get connected to a crisis line where people who may be suicidal or something along those lines, we call those blended call centers. Other call centers have Help Me Grow programs. I mean, we're all structured differently, but the beauty of it is that we all come together. We're really trying to unify the 211 network service so that we're all talking the same language, but have different programs.
So what you're describing is really, I mean, there may be some people who need or want to call you who are actually in crisis.
Correct.
But really, it's they've got a need or a wish for something that could happen. How well do you feel that you say that you're a statewide organization, how well do you feel that you know each individual county? And I'm specifically thinking of Johnson County.
Sure.
How well do you know what's on, what's here, and how up to date can you be?
Well, we try to be as up to date as possible. And one of the things that I've been working on since I started with 211 is really getting into each of the counties and working with service providers, sharing out resource lists so that we can help build up the resource database. I understand that communities, especially our small rural communities, they really know their community best. But we are here as a partner, a backup support system. So if somebody comes into Buffalo that's brand new, doesn't know where to begin, but they know to call 211, we can get them connected to Compass Family, Compass Center for Families, or to the food bank. And then the network starts happening from there within Buffalo. So to answer your question, I feel like we have a good pulse on the different types of resources within the county, but it's a continual conversation that needs to happen. It's not a one and done, and we need to continue to build the relationship with the communities across the state.
And so presumably there are some providers that you work with that are actually operate in every county, mm-hmm. and there are some which are just incredibly small and specific to different individual communities.
That's correct.
And you have a database of all of those?
Yes. Yep. So we have, we call them county resources, multi-county resources, and statewide resources. And so we have our database set up so that when we do a search of different types of resources, it will connect them to that specific county. So if it's a statewide resource, Johnson County will be in that search. If there is a multi-county resource that services Johnson County but is located in Natrona County, we can still get the citizens of Johnson County connected to that particular resource.
So can you describe the type of services and providers that you are able to connect people to? I mean, is it for everybody? Is it for children and adults and seniors and veterans? How does it work?
We have services in our database that connect individuals from cradle to grave. So working with families and children, we can get them connected to those different types of family resources or child resources. We also work with our aging population. So we run the gamut of the different types of populations that we can work with. There's no age limit, no age restrictions in what we have offerings for.
Okay, thank you. And it sounds like you may also be a very useful, I'm thinking about different providers of services around the county, at least, and also across the state. I mean, can entities, different organizations, for example, a healthcare center or a childcare provider or something like that, can they call you to as a professional service?
Absolutely. One of the areas that we're really trying to enhance right now is working with our healthcare providers. You may have heard the term social determinants of health. 80% of the things that individuals face on a daily basis may impact their well-being, as opposed to just a general healthcare issue. Strep throat or something along those lines is not connected to the environment in which they live, learn, and play. So we work in this 80% realm where individuals are being impacted by their environments. And I kind of lost my train of thought on this one.
No, I mean, you're basically describing how everything is connected.
Everything is connected, exactly right. And so we're working with our healthcare providers because they know that individuals might have things that they can't get connected to when they leave the doctor's office or the hospital. And so they can make a referral to 211. get connected with 211 when you get home to see if they can get you connected to WIC or to SNAP to make sure that you have the proper nutrition to take care of your diabetes, for example, or get connected to 211 to see if they can get you some financial assistance because you're so stressed out, you can't pay your bills. Maybe they can get you connected with a resource that can help you with that.
So sometimes those, you know, navigating those systems, they can be tough.
Really daunting.
Really daunting. Lots of what seems to be quite complicated information is required. You know, you may be having people who aren't very tech savvy, or maybe don't even have connection to any technology. Are you able to walk them through those referrals and how to make those services actually unlock for them?
Yeah, we learned that through COVID that a lot of individuals, they just simply don't have a computer or they don't have internet at home, and all of these things are now online. You have to fill out an application online and blah, blah, blah. It's really complicated. So we have worked with individuals where we will walk through an application with them. And we've been given permission if we need to fill out an application with them, or some of our navigators will go straight to that client and help them with completing applications.
So do you ever find that you are, you know, having fairly sustained conversations with a different entity or individual about, you know, a particular need? Do you make follow-up calls, for example?
We do. We will ask every caller after we've provided referrals if we can follow up with them in about 7 days. It's important for us to understand whether or not those services were actually received. So if we're giving out referrals, we don't want them to just be put on the shelf. We want that individual to actually seek out those resources so that they can get the assistance that they need. So we'll follow up with them to see if they received them. And if they did not, we want to understand why. So sometimes they'll tell us, I just haven't done anything with it, or I called but the service provider hasn't gotten back to me, or I have met with the service provider, I've completed the application, but I don't know what the outcome is yet. Or the service provider might be out of funds. So there's a whole host of reasons why an individual may not get a service. And then there are those individuals who actually did get those resources fulfilled and those needs fulfilled.
So that's quite an intense provision of service. How many calls do you get a year, for example?
During COVID, we received about 6,400 calls. Since COVID, our call volume has gone down steadily, but not dramatically. Last year, I want to say we had about 3,800 calls for the entire year.
And is there a typical call? What are more people concerned about than anything?
Right now, we're seeing a huge number of calls for utility and rent assistance, food banks, or food assistance. We're looking at a lot of counseling requests. So mental health, housing type requests, that's really where our top presenting needs are.
You're in a completely unique position there because you have this bird's eye view of what people need. You also have a bird's eye view of the services that are available. Do you do anything with that data to kind of direct how services could be directing their efforts and their money?
That's an area that I'm really trying to focus on because I think our data is very valuable and can be very useful for community leaders to use as they're trying to figure out how to create policy or how to identify priorities within their communities. And they can look at our data to say, we have some real gaps in services, or we have some really extensive needs happening right now in our community. How do we address them? So we can use this information, share it out with our communities. And that's something that I've been talking to our communities about a lot lately.
So how would you actually, in effect, I mean, that's a pretty big moving target. How do you think you could actually really progress that in a meaningful way?
We've been working with city council groups. I just met with Natrona County, or actually Casper City Council, a couple weeks ago, doing Campbell County in October. So I think that it's important to get down to the municipal level and speak to those council members and the mayors of communities to let them know that, that we have this available for them. This is, you know, this is a tool in their back pocket that they can pull out. We go to the Wyoming Association of Municipality Conference every year and talk to the mayors, the city council members, and so on, to get the word out and also to let them know that we have this information available. I will say that it's not wildly used. I hope that the trend will hopefully increase with the use of it, but all in time, all in good time.
And so you exist on a website as well as physically, you know, on the end of a telephone. Can you, do you get the same kind of service either way?
Well, we're seeing that individuals are wanting to talk to humans less and less as we go through the years. And what I am seeing through our database analytics is that there is a significant higher number of individuals who are using the search engine versus calling our call center.
Do you think that's because people, you know, are not sure whether it's really a confidential service or not? They don't know what their data is, or is it something different? I mean, is your service confidential?
Our service is confidential. I don't think people like to ask for help. Mm-hmm. I don't think people want others to know that they're struggling. Yeah. And that's I think that that's a hard question to ask, or to tell somebody, I need help. I don't know where to start. And it's very personal. It's very personal.
What the 2-1-1 website, and I will confess I have had a good look at it, what it does is basically it takes all those individual Google questions that you may have. You could find all those answers on Google, but you can find them all in one place on Wyoming 2-1-1.
Yes.
It's just all there, and there's a whole series of different sections and links and questions, and you can just drill down into very specific things by geography and types of service and so on and so forth. You know, I mean, there's a lot there.
There's a lot there.
So you could get as much out of the website as maybe speaking to somebody in person.
Absolutely.
Or maybe that would make you feel better about speaking to somebody in person.
I just think that, you know, you can spend as much or little time as you want on the website, and you can come back to it whenever you have time. You know, I think that that's the beauty of our search engine, is it's available for anybody to use, and it provides just as much information, because what they're seeing there on the website is what our community resource specialists will provide to them. I think what's important to note is when they speak with one of our live agents, they get somebody who is empathetic, who listens, who seeks out solutions, and comes up with some ideas for that client to consider. So I think there's more substance when you talk to our live person in our call center versus using the search engine. But maybe the search engine is just enough also. So
when are you actually open? When do you operate? Can anybody call any time, or do you have office hours?
We do have office hours. We're open Monday through Thursday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., and on Fridays from 8 to 5. During those hours, we have live agents that will take phone calls, and they also take text messages. So anybody can text us also by putting in 898-211 and then entering their zip code. So that starts the texting conversation. And then, again, they'll be talking with somebody in our call center and having that dialogue via text. And then we'll get to what the root need is. And then we can text those referrals over to them through their cell phone.
So that you don't necessarily have to have a pen and paper with you. You could, you know, all those things could be emailed to you or text and so on. All those resources and so on, you could also just be connected to that.
Yep.
And I believe you have a mobile app in development.
Yes.
Those things are tricky.
They are tricky. We have been testing it. I just got the link on my mobile phone and just kind of going through some of the things that I'm seeing that aren't so user-friendly. So we're trying to work through those. But we're super close. I'm hoping October is our go-live date. I'm excited. I think that it just gives another option for individuals, because so many people have that smartphone. Mm-hmm. And if something comes up right then and there, they don't have to get into their computer. They can just click on the mobile app and pull up our search engine and look for those resources.
Indeed. And, you know, that already exists for various things. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of Wyoming road conditions as one of them already.
Yes.
And the nice thing about it is that it's constantly updating in real time, so you can get the absolute most up-to-date information that you want.
Yes.
So that's great. So how do you fund all of this?
So the mobile app, for example, I sought out a grant, and we were accepted, and so we crafted the mobile app. All of our programs typically come through some sort of a grant, whether it is a federally funded grant through our state agencies, or through community foundations, for example. I just applied for a grant this past week to the Wyoming Community Foundation. And so there's a variety of ways that we fund our programs, and then a variety of ways that we fund our operations. We were successfully selected as a recipient of ARPA funds last year through the legislature. And these dollars were to be used to increase capacity for Wyoming 211. And we have been able to add staff and really do an extensive amount of public awareness. We have been on the road nonstop for this past year. So really trying to get the word out about 211, because so many people still don't know about our service. And so, but it takes a village, right, to get the information out.
It does take a village. It does take a village. And this is why, you know, I was very interested to sit down and talk with you, Sabrina, about Wyoming 211. Thank you for telling us all about it. This is an amazing service that I think so many people can benefit from. You don't need to be in crisis. You just need to want to know what's out there. And these services exist in all sorts of different capacities just to be there for people as they need them. So thank you very much indeed for describing Wyoming 211, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you. Thanks for today.